Proverbs uses imagery of food as wisdom. Psalm 23 speaks of overflowing cup and a prepared table. Isaiah 55, as you heard, uses figures of wine and milk without money, without cost. Then, of course, there's Jesus' banquet parables, the Lord's Supper, and finally the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Every church I've served, as well as several of the non-Lutheran churches I visited, they say something like this: our church is all about food. You won't leave here hungry. The person saying this thinks they're saying something novel. And that's no more unique than every state I've ever lived in has the saying, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and it will change. But it is true, the church has always been about food. Elijah is fed by ravens and feeds a starving widow on meal and oil that doesn't run out. Elisha feeds 100 men on 20 loaves of bread and some grain. Moses gets water, manna, and quail for millions. And finally, it all starts in Eden with trees you can eat from and the one you can't. The church has always been about food. Her constant prayer, therefore, is, feed me till I want no more. Our text is the familiar feeding of the 5,000. This is the only miracle, aside from Jesus' resurrection, that is found in all four Gospels. That says, pay attention. The text reminds me of the 2009 movie, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. I don't remember if I even saw that with my kids or not. The title is great. It portends the happening of something unexpected, something looming over a bad, difficult, tense situation. The disciples spell the situation out for Jesus. Using that same word from a couple weeks ago, the disciples come up close and personal to Jesus, and then they state the obvious. This is a remote place. It's already getting late. They need food. And then they command him, send the crowds away. Read the other accounts to find out how they bounced around the idea that 6 months' wages wouldn't be enough to feed them. Besides, there is no place to buy anything out here. John tells you that Jesus initially raises the question of where to buy food with Philip, and then adds, Jesus said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Is that how it is for us? Look around you. No rain, excessive heat day after day after day, prices going up, up, and up, a woke world with real wars and at war with reality. And what do we have? We have sprinklers, we have coupons, and we have common sense. When they counted resources in our text, they say we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And before them in the wilderness is upwards of 20,000 hungry people. But it's cloudy with a chance of meatballs because Jesus is on the scene there as he is here. He puts the problems, both yours and mine, and ours before our eyes and into our faces even, to test us. For Jesus himself knows what he will do. I think I just felt a drop of spaghetti sauce. Something big is on the way. I'm thinking Harry Chapin's 1974 song, 30,000 Pounds of Bananas. But I should go back and make sure you know why all this is so intense for the disciples and master of the apostles, Jesus. Our text opens with, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by a boat privately to a solitary place. What happened so that Jesus wanted to depart, wanted to avoid others? What happened was John the Baptist had been beheaded by King Herod at the request of a dancing girl. Now that's a horrible death. That is shocking. That's the burden teacher and disciples come out into the wilderness carrying. We have weight, we have cares, we can be stunned so as just not to be want to be alone. But give the song 30,000 pounds of bananas a listen. A formidable load of food is coming our way. But Jesus first turns the disciples inward, saying, these thousands of people, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. He doesn't point to 30,000 pounds of anything. He points them to themselves. And how do they react? We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And John adds, but where are they among so many? 18 has gotten himself into a mess. He finally comes to his father to tell him. The father asks, have you considered all your options? He says he has. And the father responds, no, you haven't. You didn't come to me for help. This illustrates being cumbered with a load of care, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That hymn is understood wrongly if we think because we didn't pray, God dumped on us. But whatever we're faced with, family, work, kids, spouse, neighbors, government, we're wrong if we don't go to our Lord for help. The fact that we don't think to exposes we're no more believing than these apostles that Jesus had 30,000 pounds of anything at his beck and call. This is similar to Jesus being arrested and the disciples wanting to defend him. He asked the apostles in Gethsemane, don't you realize I have 72,000 angels at my disposal? They did it. Do you? Note well, the text proves faith doesn't cause miracles because no one believes that 20,000 people can be fed with 5 fish and 2 loaves. But that doesn't stop Jesus from saying, bring them to me. That means they had enough faith to bring the problem to Jesus. In that sense, unbelief can stop a miracle. Matthew 13:58 says, Jesus didn't do many miracles in Nazareth because of their unbelief. If Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk, and you don't stand up, you're going to remain crippled. If an apostle refused to give bread, the bread and fish to Jesus or take them from his hand, not believing he could do anything, he could have fed no one. However, the real barrier to going to Jesus for help is expecting that he wants to and will help. The real barrier to those two things is God's law. God says only those with clean hands and heart can come to him. We look down and we look in and we see nothing but dirt. It's pig pen dirt too. Wherever we go, there's a cloud of dirt about us like a fog. We've been told to go to Jesus, to go to God, not in our name, but Jesus. The laws we can't keep, excuse, or get around, Jesus did for us in our salvation. Whatever pain, problem, cumbered care sits on you, there's no law of God forbidding you in Christ to approach the mercy seat. But fear sits on my chest because I know that what I deserve from God for the broken laws at my feet, in my heart and life. Yes, there is hell to pay in eternity and there's punishment in this temporal realm. But Jesus paid all that already, paying every last bit. In a video game, you got to get the last man, the last tank, the last helicopter. You don't even know where that might be, but when you get him, the game goes to slow motion, enemy banners are struck, and calm, upbeat music plays. At the cross, that's where the last measure was paid. And in your baptism, God Almighty declares for your side. Baptized into Christ, you won the battle against sin, death, and the devil. Go ahead, see the enemy's banners struck, and a truck heading your way with 30,000 pounds of bananas. But really what we have here is Cheeseburger in Paradise. That's a 1978 song by Jimmy Buffett. I dare you to listen to that song and feel as bad as you did when you started. The song illustrates that Jesus answered their need with more than 30,000 pounds of bananas. You can only eat so many bananas. But a cheeseburger? That can seem like downright paradise. Jesus leaves clues that he's going to do something special. Matthew writes, he directed the people to sit down on the grass. That's how all the English translations have it. But that's not a proper translation of anaklino. Luther better translated that Jesus commanded them to lie down on the grass. This is the word for reclining at a feast or a marriage banquet or any special dinner. They are in a desolate place. We know they're on a mountainside. We know it's late March, early April, and John tells us that there is much grass there. Jesus commanding them to recline as if they are at a special feast lets them know something extraordinary is about to happen. And we know it did because they all ate and were satisfied. The Greek word used is used of animals gorging themselves. It's a strong, graphic word, meaning totally satisfied. A cheeseburger in paradise will do that to you. Jesus did, in the words of St. Paul, far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Their unbelief, their misbelief, their lack of trust, their doubting didn't get in Jesus' way. And Jesus doesn't get lemons and make lemonade. No, he plants a lemon tree that grows to maturity, fruits, and ripens in a moment. The cheeseburger in paradise here is not only that they were totally satisfied, but that the apostles took up 12 baskets of leftovers. And 12 baskets, that right there is what's that's the theology behind not wasting food in your own home. And 12 baskets, one for each apostle, reminded them of Jesus' power, their unwillingness to live life with that in mind. The 12 baskets also show that while they didn't trust Jesus for food in the beginning, in the end, he entrusts himself to their feeding him. We all have issues, problems, pains, not to mention sin, death, and the devil stalking us day and night, seeking to devour us. You would think that after seeing Jesus do more than we ask or think, providing cheeseburgers in a wilderness, they would go away singing, "I am trusting in thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee." Nope. Got to read Mark's account in his 6th chapter. Jesus sends them away from this festal feeding to cross the Sea of Galilee at night. They are hit by a wind against them. Jesus comes walking to them, on the water. Great, they're saved because they've just seen what Jesus can do with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Nope, it says they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Harden not your heart to God's power and might and Jesus' person and work. He and what he does is all for you. Harden not your heart in the face of sins, sinfulness, suffering, sickness, crying, or dying. Harden not your heart to his forgiving, comforting presence at this banquet of his body and blood right here. Like St. Chrysostom exhorted, let us then return from that table like lions, breathing fire, having become terrible to the devil. Take the peace of the Lord that comes from the body and blood of Jesus on that altar, even if you can't commune here, and know that you will be fed always till you want no more. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.